Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Anthology of Horror. I am your host, Springheel Jack, and today I will be bringing you an episode that I have had no idea that I wanted to do until today when I was watching some stupid fucking TV show about how someone got caught, or didn't get away with murder, rather, and I figured, just based on this theory that gets me slapped in the face almost every time I say it, I want to do an episode on that, and that theory is that inherently, most people that get caught doing crimes are fucking dumb. Now, I am not claiming that I'm smart. I'm not claiming that I'm more intelligent than anybody else. I have done my fair share of fucking up, and I've gotten in trouble, but I feel that the majority of people that are doing significant amounts of time for hard crimes, with the Al Capones of the world being the exception, are pretty fucking dumb. Anyway, on that note, let me take this time to inform everybody that this podcast is not safe for work. It's probably going to offend you. I tend to toe the line of just being heinously offensive, and usually I cross it. But I like crossing my own line of personal decency. That's how I know that I still fucking have one. So, if I offend you, I apologize. This is probably not the best podcast to play for your soft children or your pussy boss. Or if you are, one of those offended at everything types, please turn it off now. This is your one warning. And on that note, thank you for sticking around. Welcome back, all repeat listeners, and to all new listeners. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Springheel Jack, and I will be your host for today. Oftentimes, just as another disclaimer, I run comedy ads that I do not own, I did not write, I have nothing to do with. I believe all of the ones that I'll be running today are from Rockstar Games, and it is purely to break up the monotony of my sweet and smoky voice. So, I own no rights to any of the comedy played on this show other than my own. The pre-recorded commercials have nothing to do with me. I'm not sponsored by any of the commercials or the companies that don't exist that I play on this show. Also, speaking of not being sponsored, this podcast is not monetized. This podcast is entirely put on by me because I value your time. So, thank you for listening. And it will be an ad-free, guaranteed experience with the exception of the comedic acts that I play that are not actually trying to sell you anything. Because I'm sure, along with most of you guys, it is tiresome to hear people try to sell you the same fucking tired-ass products, the 23andMe test, SimpliSafe, whatever else it is. I don't know, whatever boner pills they're selling now. I don't like it. I don't want you guys to hear it. I value your time. So on that note, speaking of valuing your time, let's get into it with a message from a fake company.
Why do trees talk?
Why are there dinosaurs?
Why do people die meaningless deaths?
Is there other life in the universe?
Why do I have to be monogamous?
Do you want answers? Have you searched literature and philosophy for meaning? For years, man has combed the pages of history, searching for enlightenment. Finally, the answers are here. We at the Epsilon Program know religion is a deeply personal experience. Join us, and you will be brought to light. Kiflam, I'm the Honorable Chris Formage. All you have to do is read and understand the Epsilon Tract, and the secrets of the universe will be open to you. The Epsilon Program. This time, God, it's personal.
Man, Kiflam, brother. All right, so I have compiled, a exorbitantly long list of some of the dumbest fucking crimes and criminals that I've ever heard of in my life, and I would love nothing more than to share them with you. I don't have a set number that I'm going to be reading, but I have, 35 tabs open right now, some of the stupidest shit I could possibly fucking, I couldn't even think of something dumber if I wanted to, and I'm pretty dumb. God, okay. So I watch a lot of true crime shows, as you guys know, but let me get more specific so that you know the level of in-depth that I watch it. I watch probably one true crime documentary every day, and I have for the past year or so. Depends on what it is. Sometimes it's Cold Case, Homicide, Hunter, 48-Hour Mystery. I'm not really that picky. Just needs to be involving something interesting, an investigation, and a conclusion. because without the conclusion, I start feeling like I'm going fucking nuts. And preferably some filmed reenactments with bad, like, B-rated actors, or D-rated actors, or C-rated actors, better yet. Some people would feel some personal shame related to these thousands of hours that I've sunk into basically murder porn, but I really don't regret any of it. In fact, all the hours have taught me quite a bit about murder. And though one hot fact is more apparent than other, and as a general rule, I've found out through watching all these shows that people fucking suck at killing people. An overwhelming majority of murderers are just stupid at doing what they do. They make the same mistakes over and over and over again. They completely lose all common sense in the heat of the moment. They beg to get caught. And while that's really good for police officers trying to catch these dipshits, it's funny and frustrating as a viewer to see the same story played out over and over and over again. So over the past weeks, like I've said, I've started to take notice of these common fuck-ups, and now I'm assembling them into a list. And it's going to be the first of its kind as far as these episodes go, and this is me just ripping on people that are too stupid to get away with it. Not to help other people murder people, but just to talk about how stupid people can be. So I'm going to start off with the five most common stupid mistakes that killers do, and it will get them caught. Transporting dead bodies in their trunks. Truly stupid number of killers throw the murder victims into the trunk before driving to the disposal site, and every single time they hit a pothole, hair falls out, blood flies in a weird direction, and skin rubs all over the carpet or trunk, roof, like the top of the door, the inside of the door. So try explaining that in court, because it's pretty fucking hard to explain why your wife was in your trunk. Never under any circumstances put people in your trunk. Dumb. Two, they use the exact same weird MO. Remember the scene in Home Alone when the cops tell Harry and Marv they can track every single house they've robbed because of the water being left on? That's a comedic plot point in a movie with an 8-year-old protagonist, and yet it's also a plot point in practically every fucking serial killer investigation that's ever gone on. The police are always able to figure out the murders are connected because of the killer sprinkling glitter on people, or painting one ear red, or strangled each victim with some fucking pantyhose noose. Fuck these guys. Why don't they change things up a bit? Because they're stupid. I get that serial killers have some weird urge to do certain things, but even so, they should at least consider planting some weird fake evidence. Like, all right, check it out. Charlie Manson went to the Sharon Tate murder house after the fact, tried to cover for his buddies, tried to clean it up a little bit, and he had a pair of glasses that weren't his that he threw in the middle of the living room, and it stumped the cops for like 6 fucking months. It's not everyone involved. Usually both sides are a little dense. A lot of times they lie about knowing the victim too. It's probably the mistake that pisses me off the most. The police will knock on somebody's door, ask if he knows Jane, and the guy that murdered Jane will say no. Then, after the shortest of investigations, the police will discover random dude and Jane were actually fucking each other, and only a murderer or a nervous, frightened dipshit would lie about something like that. Innocent people typically just come out with a story, even if it's a little incriminating. Consequently, there's no faster way to get the police only on you than to blatantly lie to them about some stupid shit detail they're going to find out anyway. Murderers do this all the time when it comes to the basic nature of their relationship with the victim. They'll admit they know her, they'll say they get along great, and everyone else at the interview will divulge the true hatred that there was between them, and all of a sudden, the police have a new prime suspect. Just lay it all out there, be honest in the beginning, and chances are they'll figure out who did it. Another great way to get caught is by killing your spouse. Husbands don't ever murder wives. That's not true. You know why? Because way too many husbands murder their wives. An overwhelming majority of wife murders are committed by their husbands. I think it's 60-70%. So even if said husband is the sweetest, most gentle guy in the neighborhood, the police are always going to tear apart his life and alibi in order to figure out whether or not he did it. All the percentages say it's probably the husband, and that can't just be ignored. Or the wife's boyfriend. Half the time when they interview these husband murderers, they freak out about getting asked their whereabouts and refuse to answer any questions. Yeah, Scott Peterson. Do you know what grieving husbands do? They answer every fucking question the police ask in an effort to get themselves ruled out as a suspect as quickly as possible. They understand how investigations work, and they don't freak out if the police do their job. And Also, leaving a stupid amount of DNA behind is not your friend. It's like every serial killer feels the need to rub their hands over everything and scratch their pubes until they fall out and land on the murderer's the victim's body. Why is wearing a hat so hard? Don't even get me started on semen. It's not 1950. If you leave semen behind at a crime scene and you're a convicted felon, you're going to get caught. But contrary to popular belief, the police do not have a massive data bank of fucking semen. You have to be in the system. But with all that being said, that rant is over. Now let's get into stupid criminals as it is. So when a perpetrator actually gets away with a crime, he must have an overwhelming sense of relief and the urge for a bit of celebration. After all, he's just pulled off an illegal act and there's no evidence left behind that could tie him to it. Imagine the relief he must feel upon getting away with murder or something. And now imagine how dumb he'd need to be after having gotten away with murder to have a crime scene permanently tattooed on his fucking chest. So that's what happened to Anthony Garcia, a Los Angeles gang member who committed a murder during a liquor store robbery and got away with it for 4 years until he was picked up for driving on a suspended license and the police noticed his unique tattoos when taking his mugshot. And it did not take them long to connect the dots considering the crime scene was recreated in pretty exhausting detail. And there I am looking at his mugshot where it has the city name on a sign. Some well-dressed white man being shot in the head by a bald-headed guy with a Fu Manchu. There's a liquor store in which the well-dressed white man is laying dead. There is a police helicopter overhead and a big block letter tattoo above all of it that says Rivera Kills. God, you're an idiot. As far as crime goes, being a bicycle thief does not rank alongside murder, rape, or assault, but it's certainly not a victimless crime, and it can be a pretty lucrative career if you steal enough bikes. A guy named Mark Moore, a 57-year-old man from San Francisco, had decided it was a career path for him, and when police arrested him, they found 10 bicycles and a number of bike wheels, seats, and frames. So how did they track this master thief down? Pretty easy. Tried to sell one of the stolen bikes back to the victim. Oh my God. The victim found his stolen bike in an online ad and arranged to purchase it. While alerting police to what was really going on, Moore was charged with possession of stolen property, probation violation, and felony possession of a firearm. Maybe next year, he'll realize what the rest of us have known for years, and that is avoiding Craigslist is a great idea. Oh my God, you guys are idiots. And I will be right back with more stupid-ass fucking dipshit criminals after this message from somebody that doesn't exist and does not sponsor the show.
Relationships can seem like an eternity.
You asshole! What were you doing with my sister in that hot tub?
Relieve the pressure.
Ice.
Chill that bitch out with ice. A diamond lasts forever, but your relationship might not. A diamond is love, rock hard, and frozen in time. Luckily, most women are shallow and materialistic.
Oh, a diamond! So you do love me.
Nothing says I love you like a lump of carbon mined by wage slaves in Angola.
I don't even know what I was mad at you about. Do you want a blowjob?
Passion. It can be purchased, and it can be overpriced. Ice, available and very expensive at Decock Diamonds. Oh,
so it must be quite shocking when you're at work doing business as usual and you're generally keeping to yourself, and you discover that somebody's in the parking lot attempting to steal the tires off your fucking car. But it would be even more shocking if when you confront him, they go from bad to worse when they assault you and stuff you in your trunk. So in this situation, which actually happened in, guess where it was, guess? I would never have guessed this. I was just curious if somebody knew, like anyone involved. Louisville, Kentucky. Lady named Brittany Elder, Trent Bly, and Joseph Davis upgraded from simple theft to full-on kidnapping of a gas station attendant, which, to all California listeners, in other states, at times it is illegal to pump your own gas, and they have kept jobs in the state and not forced you to do the job that an American previous would have been paid for, and that is a gas station attendant. They will pump your gas for you, like a waiter or something. I don't know what more respectful way to describe it, a full-service gas station attendant that will put gas in your car, you tip them, And it's nice because that's just one more place that will have a job for somebody that needs one. But California, we don't have that, so you're pumping your own gas. So just, they then jumped into the attendant's car with him in the trunk and drove away. But as luck would have it, the attendant's license plates had expired. Perfect. And the car was pulled over by the police. Hearing the police outside, the attendant started shouting and banging on the inside of his trunk, and the cops realized that there was more going on than a simple case of out-of-date registration. Oh my god. Wouldn't that be something you check if you're going to steal a car? Registration? Like, gee, I wonder if this stolen car is going to get pulled over for being stolen. No, we'll just stuff the guy that it belongs to in the trunk, then no one will report it stolen. Cool. Registration expired 5 years ago, and it's from fucking, like, Florida? Nice. Okay. Oh my goodness. So you'd be forgiven that if you thought that by now most people had figured out that crime and the internet are not good lovers. This befuddles me. I've never understood this about this generation, this current teenager, whoever is currently like 18 years old and getting arrested for committing felonies online and fucking live streaming them. I saw a live stream from Chicago of fucking four teenagers just torturing somebody for hours on Facebook. And they were shocked when they got caught. Fortunately for entertainment, though, it's not the case all over the place, as with the one that I saw. It was a terrible video, but usually it's a social networking site like Facebook that alerts the authorities to something illegal. But in the case of Hannah Sabata, she must have thought the cops needed some help. She decided to make a video boasting about her crime and posting it onto YouTube for the whole world to see. This wasn't just some dumb 19-year-old girl bragging about vandalism or something. It was a dumb 19-year-old girl bragging about robbing a bank and stealing a car. She was only too happy to go online and let the entire world know how awesome and tough she was at stealing shit. What she's not awesome at, however, is covering up her crime and covering her ass. Needless to say, she was arrested. Jesus Christ. Ben Franklin said it best, I think, that three men can get away with murder if two of them are dead. What happened to the days of just not fucking telling anybody, and then you get away with it when you're the only one you have to cover for? What do I know? There's a scene in the movie Snatch in which a pair of criminals attempt an armed robbery, and they are unable to escape from the premises when they are unable to figure out if they should push or pull the door to get it open. It's a comical scene, and one that no viewer would ever really believe would actually happen, I would think, but who could be that stupid? Apparently, the answer to the question is a guy named James Allen, a 28-year-old man who attempted to rob a convenience store only to be foiled by pushing on the door rather than pulling. Okay, you know what? I get this one. Not only that, but he was also using a toy gun and actually removed his mask in full view of the security cameras. The hits just keep on coming in for this dipshit, but he was also a regular at the store, and had actually robbed it only 10 days earlier, and it's pretty fair to say that nobody will ever accuse him of being a genius or a master thief, but I could get that. If it's like your first time doing something, and you're terrified, your adrenaline's flowing, you've got a fake gun, you take your mask off because you're sweating and nervous, and then you are trying to go out the door, and you panic trying to push the fucking thing open, and you're just panicking, pushing the door, and then the shop clerk comes up behind you and shoots you in the back of the head, and you go to, well, you die at that point, but I could see that one, I guess. No, not really. If you can't open a door under stress, you shouldn't be robbing anything, but you shouldn't be robbing anything ever. That's illegal, but I think most people know their limitations, and I have a feeling that if you tend to panic that hard under pressure, you might be aware of yours. And speaking of being under pressure, these next two commercials have nothing to do with anything that involves that.
There's a war going on in the streets. It's the War on Thirst. Splunk is winning the war on thirst with the new grenade-shaped cans.
Hey, yo, pull the pin and blow your thirst right off in that brand new taste explosion.
Boom! Now that's the sound of refreshment. Sprunk! Go AWOL from the Cola Wars with an energizing mix of lemon, lime, 10 times the caffeine and sugar.
Plus, mercury and benzene for that extra pop!
Yo, it'll bring the temperature right up and the bubbles! Other beverages use carbon dioxide.
We use ether to kick up that phase.
Thanks to all that mercury, you won't remember anything that tasted so good. Now pick up a Sprunk Thermonuclear 6-pack. Kill thirst and liven up the party. Toss your friends a Sprunk in the grenade-shaped can and enter the Sprunk sweepstakes where you can win a real case of grenades. Sprunk, blow your thirst right off in that brand new taste explosion.
Ah, this is taking forever.
Oh, honey, what's wrong?
I can't seem to scrape the paint off this mirror.
Oh, here, honey, I got you something.
Wow, a golden razor blade. I can't wait to show the guys this. Where'd you get it?
Blotto's, of course.
Gold-plated razor blades, pocket-sized mirrors. Nothing could be more convenient for the hardworking, clean-shaven man on the go. Blotto's has the life accessories you need. And if you have diabetes or just want to play with the medical equipment, stop by Blotto's this weekend for our shoot 'em up sale. Blotto's, we make daily habits fun.
So who knew that shoplifting could be a perfect Kodak moment? A thief and his sidekick seemed pretty savvy when they entered a Long Island Walmart and swept the shelves of $2,000 worth of digital cameras. A store worker found only an abandoned shopping cart filled with empty camera boxes. Meanwhile, the store's surveillance tape looked like it was going to be useless. The video showed the suspects, a man and a woman, but the images were far too grainy to identify either one of them. And then, security officials noted that at one point the tape showed the man, who, or the woman, pick up a demonstration camera that was chained to a counter, pointed it at her partner, and took a picture. So the store's manager called over to Walmart at the photo center and asked about the camera. The guy operating the photo center was a guy named Brian McCookie. Said that they were in luck. The camera had batteries and a card. So what's more, it hooked up to a printer. All that this guy had to do was press print to see exactly what the picture on the flash card looked like. Flash drive, rather. Or flash... the fucking memory card. Out popped a clear color image of a balding man with a mustache looking straight at the camera as if it were a mugshot. Shortly after the robbery, Suffolk Police Department Sergeant Paul Dordicchio said that he thought the couple will be kind of surprised. I'm sure they thought that there was no memory card in the camera. But no sooner did the police go public with the photograph than calls poured in on the tip line identifying the 36-year-old man as James Stissy. Less than 3 weeks later, detectives arrested him at his home and charged him with grand larceny. Man, what a dipshit. It must be tough for Alejandro Martinez to clear himself of charges that he robbed a Las Vegas pizza parlor after allegedly leaving behind a crucial piece of evidence. According to prosecutor, the 23-year-old Martinez entered the parlor, ordered a pie, and requested a job application. The cashier immediately gave him an application and a pen, so he started filling it out. Then, when he thought the moment was right, he lifted his shirt, exposed the butt of a firearm, and told her to give him all the fucking money. After stuffing $200 in his pocket, Martinez hustled out to a waiting car, authorities say, but a witness followed the gunman, jotted down the license plate, and an easy trace of that number led the police straight to him, who they found sitting at home. None of that has made it easy for his public defender, who was taken on the case. But the evidence left behind could make his job nearly impossible. When the police returned to the pizza parlor after the arrest, they found his job application on the counter. He had dutifully written down on it his real name and address. "I'll chalk it up to either inexperience or stupidity," said the prosecutor. Martinez has pled not guilty, and his case is now pending in district court. You've got to be fucking me up the ass. What the hell? Oh my God, you're a fucking moron, you mouth-breathing idiot. I'll be right back after another fake ad.
Life isn't about money or your job. It's about having good friends, a nice car, and nailing as many women as possible. That's why I choose Bouche Cologne. The name Cologne stems from the Roman Empress Agrippina, who would sleep with anyone. I know. I did. And I'll sleep with you too. God, I love myself. I smell great.
Bouche Cologne. Get your sperm swimming.
For fuck's sake. Nothing looked too suspicious about a guy named Paul Callahan, except maybe the gardening gloves that he was wearing as he slipped into a building on Boston's Commonwealth Avenue. The 32-year-old Callahan was on a mission to rob a bank, and he found his target. Striding past a row of Fleet Bank ATMs, he went through a glass door and walked up to the clerk standing behind a counter, and without saying a word, he handed him a newspaper. Tucked inside was a note demanding cash. The clerk read the note, looked puzzled, and conferred briefly with another clerk. Then he turned to Callahan and said, "Do you know you're in a copy store and all we can give you is copies?" Oops. Turns out Callahan had opened the door marked Image X Press. Undeterred, he said he was looking for a Fleet Bank and asked if one was close by. The copy store employees said that they weren't sure, and once Callahan left, immediately called the police. Shortly after, a Fleet Bank in another part of town was held up by a man that, you guessed it, had a note concealed inside a newspaper. Took until the next day, but the Boston police nabbed Callahan at a gas station the morning that he had hit another bank, taking some $2,500. But things still weren't going right. The hapless robber was in the station because his getaway truck had a flat tire. And how did this attract the attention of the police? Callahan called 911 for help. My God, you're an idiot. Even the police had to smile at this next one. It was a case of passing counterfeit money that brought cops to Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, to a local supermarket. There they got a look at the bogus bill. Was it a bad likeness of Jefferson on the $20 bill, or maybe of Grant on the $50? No, it was a fairly sharp presidential likeness, actually, of George W. Bush on a $200 bill. Really? On the back of a note, police found an image of the White House with its south lawn cluttered with signs reading, "We like broccoli," and "USA deserves a tax cut." Pretty goofy to think that you could get away with that as paying for groceries, right? Well, this is a case of stupid and stupider, because the supermarket cashier actually accepted the phony bill and gave the customers groceries along with change. Oh my fuck. Apprehended 12 days later, the man with his funny money was ordered to pay back the store in real bills, and then he was released, which is surprisingly fucking liberal of the cops. A $200 bill with George Bush's face on it?
Cock-a-doodle-doo, it's time for chicken.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, it's time for a feast. Eat a 90-piece bucket, you can tell. He's been to Clucking Bell. The chicken is a bird with a tiny brain. So we assume he doesn't feel any pain. We shrink their heads and we breed them fast. 6 wings, 40 breasts, and then they're gassed. Cock-a-doodle-doo, we're psychotic crazies. Cock-a-doodle-doo, factory farming's insane. We denied it all before our stock price fell. Clucking Bell.
Clucking Bell. If you enjoy it, the chicken didn't die in vain.
Max Sopio, a then 26-year-old, hiding from the police in Mexico, was smart enough to commit bank fraud. Yet somehow it slipped his mind to remove a former Justice Department official from his list of Facebook friends. The Cameroon native consistently updated his status from Cancun, detailing the great time he was having, evading charges in Seattle. Memorable status updates included, "Life is very simple, really, but some of us humans make a mess of it. Remember, am just here to have fun party." Sopo arrived in the United States around 2003 and sold roses in Seattle nightclubs until, according to prosecutors, he decided to commit unlawful actions. After initial police efforts to find Sopo on Facebook and MySpace were unsuccessful, Secret Service agent Seth Reege took a second look, finding Sopo's private profile and scanning his public list of friends. As it turns out, a former Justice Department employee had met Sopo briefly in Seattle in the nightclub scene, and he was more than happy to help the officials. Sopo is now doing 30 years, but he'll probably keep us updated. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department Sergeant Kevin Lloyd was flipping through photographs of tattooed gang members on his lunch and stumbled upon some very permanent evidence on Anthony Garcia, a Pico Rivera member found responsible for a 2004 unsolved liquor store case. He had details of the scene tattooed on his chest, including the Christmas lights that lined the roof of the liquor store, the direction of the victim, John Juarez, and where his body fell, and a distinctive streetlight. The ink across the top of his chest that I said earlier. This is the same one, but Rivera kills. He was sentenced to 65 years. Oh my God. Don't attempt to commit breaking and entering while wearing a GPS tracking anklet given to you by the police. You won't get away with it. Are you fucking... Oh, fuck you fucking dipshit. James Wombles, a Riverside, Ohio native, allegedly committed several holdups, and Wombles was already under police surveillance due to a previous stolen property charge. Reportedly, he didn't realize that the GPS anklet would prevent him from slipping away unnoticed from another scene of unlawful activity. What a stupid asshole. An Illinois man, Thomas Infante, entered the 5th/3rd Bank in December 2008 with the goal of obtaining unearned cash. He made off with the surprisingly high dollar amount of $400 before the authorities tracked him to his carry home. FBI was called in quickly and realized that they were dealing with no mastermind, as they discovered that he had written a note threatening tellers to be quick and be quit. I think it means quiet. Give your cash or I'll shoot. On his pay stub, complete with his name and address. He was apprehended at home and confessed on site. Oh my fucking God, you're a moron. And this is why I say that the majority of people that are doing time fucking deserve it, because they're goddamn mouth-breathing idiots.
In the game of checkers in life, sometimes you make the wrong move and get jumped. If you made the wrong move and need money fast, we're here to capitalize on that. Some people are destined to make the wrong move over and over again. It's okay. It's all right. What are possessions and life's treasures if you can't cash them in during a self-imposed crisis? At Abigo Brokerage and Pawn, we'll secure the funds you need for any collateral items you can get your hands on. Just bring in your stock, jewelry, electronics, munitions, dust, automobiles, power tools, home, movies, children, exercise equipment, pets, coin collection, or your spleen, liver, or kidney, and we'll give you cash on the spot. After all, some habits are expensive. We don't need proof of ownership. We're about the most basic exchange. Goods for money. We'll buy anything, including your dignity. Abigo Brokerage and Pawn.
Speaking of goods for money, Daniel D. Lorillo, then a 54-year-old New York State Department of Education employee, was found to have taken several items belonging to the New York State Library and Archives on eBay, including a four-page letter written to New York General in 1823 by John C. Calhoun. Yosef Romito of Virginia was then the complaining witness that brought the auction of the Calhoun letter to the attention of the state authorities. State investigators recovered over 1,600 documents that Lorillo had tried to auction off. Among the library's other documents taken by Lorillo were two copies of the Davy Crockett Almanac and a Poor Richard's Almanac. Holy shit. Man. A lady named Anne Marie Linscott posted a Craigslist ad for some general freelance work before explaining her true intentions to the responding individuals. She wanted them to terminate her lover's wife in California. Oh, holy shit. Linscott offered $5,000 for the hit. You fucking idiot. Provided the woman's name and address and described successful candidates as silent assassins, according to agents and court documents. Agents apprehended Linscott, who used the alias Marie, at her home in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Butte County authorities worked with the FBI to identify the victim and her husband. Oh, my God. Back in 1985, Dennis Newton was on trial in a district court for armed robbery of a convenience store when he fired his lawyer and decided that he could represent himself. Assistant District Attorney Larry Jones said that Newton, then age 47, was doing a decent job of defending himself until the store manager testified that Newton was indeed the culprit. Newton jumped up and accused the woman of lying and said, "I should have blown your fucking head off." He paused and then added, "If I'd been the one that was there." The jury just took 20 minutes to convict Newton and recommended a 30-year sentence. My goodness. A little hefty. Christopher Jansen of Pontiac, Michigan, claimed to have been unfairly searched without a warrant. The prosecutor explained that a warrant wasn't necessary because the officer could clearly see a bulge in Christopher's jacket that appeared to be a gun. Jansen said there was no way that could be true, and to prove his point, he handed the same jacket to the judge so it could be examined, and the judge found cocaine in his pocket. Oh my God, you're a fucking idiot. That's a good one. That is a really fucking good one. Fuck, dude. Oh, Jesus Christ.
The day of liberation is here. Throughout history, only the biggest and strongest survive. Being big means you're successful, and women love big men.
Kilimanjaro.
And as a successful man, you need to feel comfortable when you're sitting down to eat.
Kilimanjaro.
Clothes for the bigger man. Don't be bound by society, bogus medicine, and the media with their unhealthy focus on being skinny. Don't be constrained by trying to squeeze into a triple X. Bored of feeling like a man in a sausage skin in your size 48 jeans? Bored of being uncomfortable?
Kilimanjaro,
the clothes shop for enormous men. We're fighting to end hunger. Yours.
Kilimanjaro.
Speaking of hunger, many people find it unsettling that serial killers are usually just people like us, or murderers in general. They're people, and they're usually pretty petty and mostly kind of boring. The only difference is they're willing to commit murder once. And like the rest of us, they make a lot of fuck-ups, mistakes that in hindsight probably it ends up being just as baffling to them as it is to us. Let's talk about this dude, Melvin. The effect that online communication is having on traditional friendships has been harped on by social critics since it began, And here's one of the better unforeseen advantages of it. People are proving surprisingly free with secrets that would otherwise allow them to remain a danger to the public if they kept them to themselves. One of the most memorable examples was a guy named Melvin Colin. Oh, you fucking poor bastard. Of New York City in 2012, who was freely posting about how he was so tough and violent on his public Facebook page. But in private, he was also talking about how tough and violent he was in an infinitely worse matter. It included confessing to second-degree murder. One of Colin's Facebook friends turned out to be not really his friend, that would, at least not a friend that would withhold a friend's murder confession from the police. Apparently, there was some debate as the time as to whether or not the statements made in confidence on Facebook should be admissible in court, or if doing so was a violation of privacy, but ultimately the evidence was allowed and Colin was convicted on December 6th. Goddamn. On January 11th, 2013, Catherine Porter was stabbed to death in her home in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She was found with almost 70 stab wounds, along with plenty of bite marks. The prime suspect was her husband, Jean-Pierre Trias. Despite him not having a history of violence, Trias admitted that he had blacked out before calling his brother and the police, but he was clearly of sufficiently sound mind, because he also contacted multiple law firms to organize a defense. Not that there was much that could be done in light of a particularly damning piece of evidence that he'd left at the crime scene, and that was on his computer was a very creepy and bewildering text document. It was a to-do list on which he had typed "kill Kathy" over and over and over and over again between perfectly mundane daily activities, as if he had developed an elaborate tic while he was typing. How could he have the presence of mind to create a legal defense but not delete that list? His mother claims that she'd been receiving emotional phone calls from him for 5 days leading up to the murder, and the information on the text document showed that it had last been updated 5 days before. In the June of that year, he was found guilty and sentenced to 36 years. Yeah, fuck you. So, I can definitely appreciate how dangerous ISIS is, so don't take this the wrong way. This is a disclaimer. Some of the stuff that they are reported doing is just baffling. Undoubtedly, though, the largest example of this occurred on February 10, 2014, when a huge explosion drew police to a site of an ISIS training camp, where a teacher had bungled his demonstration and in the process killed 22 would-be ISIS bombers. Dozens more were wounded and arrested. The class had certainly not been part of any sort of threadbare operation. It was surrounded by explosives as well as vehicles heavily loaded with more explosives. It's baffling to think the live explosives would have been used for such a demonstration, or that people would stand so close to a teacher under the circumstances, especially in light of Abdel Ghani Jawar's similar fate in 2012. Experts on terrorism. How do you become an expert on terrorism? We're quick to point out that this did little to harm ISIS's ability to commit terrorist acts. The night that it happened, ISIS performed a suicide bombing just to prove that they still could, and in the following months, suicide bombers were also used to take out a major military airbase, unfortunately. In March of 96, when Michael Alig and Robert Riggs murdered the rather unusual drug dealer, Andre Angel Melendez, a person known for walking around New York City wearing angel wings. Oh dear, the murder was brutal. Alig strangled him while Riggs bludgeoned him to death. Alig then took the additional grisly steps of pouring Drano down Melendez's throat and chopping off his appendages before dumping his body in the Hudson. Then he did just about the last thing you would expect, and he went around bragging about it on television. What? Alig was a somewhat famous exhibitionist club promoter. He'd been featured on the Phil Donahue Show with a group called the Club Kids, who were spiraling into serious drug addiction. And it was all assumed to just be really dark bragging for 9 months until a review of the morgue records revealed that there actually was a person who matched that description, and Alig spent 17 years in prison after pleading guilty for murder. In 2003, he was portrayed by Macaulay Culkin in the film Party Monster. Oh, man. On the night of November 27th, 76, a guy named David Ray Harris murdered Officer Robert Wood after Wood pulled him over for driving with his lights off. Wood didn't know that Harris was in a stolen car, but Harris thought that that was the reason he was being stopped. Harris sped away under fire, and after he escaped, he began to brag to his friends that he had killed a police officer. He even showed off the gun that he'd used for the murder. Naturally, eventually he was arrested and then changed his story, accusing a man named Randall Adams of the murder. The most bewildering thing about David Harris's bragging, though, was that the police didn't respond to Harris's constant confessions by convicting him. Because David Harris was 16 years old, he was too young to execute, and some people involved in the case believed that the police department wanted someone's head to roll for the crime. So the police more or less collude in framing Randall Dale Adams for the murder, as detailed in the timeless 1988 documentary, The Thin Blue Line. If that movie hadn't been made, and if Harris hadn't murdered somebody else in the meantime, one of the stupidest murders in American history would have been allowed to get away with it. Let's talk about Dosai Kumar, who was arrested in late August for taking fight in a bar brawl in India. He quickly confessed having committed two murders because he was under the mistaken impression he'd been arrested for them instead of the drunken fist fight. Ah, you fucking moron. Only 5 days earlier, the police had retrieved the body of one of his victims from Sembarakam Lake, and it was a person named D. Manny. And Kumar claimed that he'd also strangled his father, Devar Jan Manny. Further investigations revealed that the Manny family was claiming that the elder Manny had died of a heart attack, which raised suspicions that Kumar had been hired by the family to commit the double homicide. Kumar claimed that he killed them to preserve the family's honor, and they alleged that they were embarrassing drunks, but the authorities suspected the actual motive was just a cash grab in the way of an estate. Oof. Yikes.
They say living in Los Santos is the equivalent of smoking a pack a day. If that's the case, then I want a choice in the matter. So I chose Redwood.
I used to sell my body for drug money on the streets. Now I've cleaned up and have a wife and go to church. And I owe it all to Redwood cigarettes.
Sometimes when I get really stressed out, I beat my children with anything I can lay my hands on. Since I tried Redwoods, I find a way to relax 20 or 30 times a day. I know it's bad for me, but what's more important, me or my children?
Stress kills millions of people each year and causes divorces, automobile accidents, and even war. When stress is about to get you, get a Redwood. Redwood Cigarettes. Proud sponsor of the LS City Marathon.
Ed Gein, the notorious grave robber and taxidermist of humans from Plainsfield, Wisconsin, was never considered to be any sort of criminal genius. But he left behind a bewildering string of evidence. That evidence during his crimes that ultimately led to his arrest. On November 17th, 57, Gein murdered storekeeper Bernice Warden in her store. He had spent a week hanging out there, ingratiating himself with her son, Frank Warden, so that he would know when Frank planned to be out hunting. And when the time came, Gein bought antifreeze and a rifle, let Bernice fill out the receipt, then shot her with the rifle and closed up the store when he left. Despite taking the body with him, he left the receipt in his name and didn't clean up the crime scene. You fucking idiot. When he was immediately questioned, since he'd gone out of his way to be a person of interest, and he was questioned by none other than Frank Warden, who was a sheriff's deputy, oh my god, he feigned his innocence so badly that he was immediately taken into custody before the sheriff even found out the human remains that he had infamously left around his home. If any of the numerous movies made based on Ed Gein ended with him making a string of such stupid fucking mistakes, surely there would be lots of whining from critics about the faulty screenwriting. In by far the least horrible of stories included in the list, there is the case of Larry Burnett, the owner of a Lincoln car lot in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Burnett had problems with an ex-employee named James McComb, who claimed that Burnett owed him unpaid salary. Burnett decided to deal with the situation by, instead of paying him, but hiring a hitman. During the hiring process, though, Burnett screwed up rather spectacularly. While on the phone with said hitman, Burnett pulled out his second phone to give the killer McComb's contact information, but as he did that, he accidentally dialed McComb's number right before putting the phone back in his pocket, and McComb listened to the whole conversation, where his former boss told the professional killer things like, "I don't care if you have to burn his house down." Fortunately, Burnett was arrested, and whatever arrangement he might have had was disrupted before McComb suffered any personal harm, but not before McComb's home had been broken into and his stove had been tampered with unsuccessfully. Sounds like you were paying the wrong hitman. Not the right man, not the right job. Okay, let's talk about one of my least favorite killers of all time, and that is BTK. Not that I like any of them, I just think this guy is a particular huge sack of douche. Dennis Rader, a dog catcher, church council president, Cub Scout leader, home security system installer from Wichita, Kansas, killed 10 people over 20 years. He not only killed people in particularly horrendous fashions, but he also wrote letters to law enforcement taunting them for their inability to catch him. Many of these letters included clues and other trademarks reminiscent of the Zodiac Killer. The practice would ultimately prove to be his downfall, however, and after a prolonged period of inactivity, Rader apparently wanted to begin sending the police messages in the form of floppy disks. To determine whether it would be safe for him to do so, he sent an inquiry to his local TV station that was forwarded to the police, asking if they would be able to track him through floppy disks. They were supposed to give their answer through a local newspaper, so naturally the police deliberately misinformed him, and Rader sent in the clue that would allow them to track him down through the use of his church's computer, a floppy disk. I imagine that 75% of my listeners have no idea what that is. Okay, so when you're doing too many drugs, and you whip it out, and you can't get it up, that's a floppy dick. And that is not what this is. It was an old information storage device. It was it's a floppy CD in a fucking plastic case. It was like the cassette player, or the cassette tape of fucking CDs. On May 3rd, 2020... Excuse me. On May 3rd, 2013, an Iraq War veteran named Maribel Ramos was reported missing. One of her family members posted a thread on Yelp on the subject. Maribel's roommate, Quang KC, came to the thread and said how much she missed her and how she had been his close friend. When it was pointed out to him that it was sort of suspicious how he had referred to his friend in the past tense, Joy excused his error and then said something infinitely more suspicious. He told a bunch of strangers on the internet that he had an insurance policy in her name and stood to make hundreds of thousands of dollars if she was dead. Within days, after several searches of his apartment, Joy was arrested. Among the evidence in the case against him was his web history, which included searches for how long a body would last before biodegrading and a map before biodegrading happened, and a map search of where he'd left her body. Police also turned up a phone call from Ramos saying that Joy had just blown up at her over a rent dispute. Even his defense attorney didn't deny that Joy was guilty, but claimed that he was only guilty of hiding the body, not of committing murder. It didn't work, and Joy was found guilty of murder on July 29th, 2014. Oh my God.
Sounds like you got a nasty cough.
Yeah? No shit.
Here, baby. Try this.
Soothe?
Yeah. Soothe annihilates cough and cold symptoms.
Wow, I'm seeing donkeys.
That's the patented cough-killing concoction of codeine, morphine, and alcohol. Your cold will be history. How's your cold now?
Who the hell are you?
I'm your wife, fool.
Soothe kills a cough fast. And for the kid's chesty cough, it's Soothe Junior, the medication that comes in a fun, animal-shaped container kids will love.
Hey, look at me. I'm binging on medication just like Dad.
Oh my God, he's barely breathing.
No, that's just the medicine doing his magic.
Thanks to Soothe, his cough is history. With Soothe, you'll forget you had a cough, your name, or where to properly go to the bathroom. Feel better fast with Soothe.
My family! He's got a gun!
Someone's breaking into your home. What do you do? Call 911? It takes the police an average of 35 minutes to respond to a 911 call. In that time, a burglar could have his way with your wife, smoke a cigarette, flip her over, and go in for seconds. Don't let the worst happen to you. It is vital that you protect yourself. Do it the patriotic way.
That's right. Ammunition has all the equipment you need to protect your family from the evils of a liberal society. Fixed, mounted, and shoulder-held submachine guns, mortars, surface-to-air and all manner of heat-seeking missiles, and just in to celebrate the Gulf War, pink and blue tracer bullets so you can protect your family in the dark. Start the week off right on Make My Day Mondays with 2-for-1 on maim, strafe, and kill landmines. Got Gulf War syndrome? Get $10 off all machine gun rentals. Hey, if you love your family, prove it with a gun. Ammunition, protecting your rights.
So police had an easy time of tracking down Floridian Mac Yearwood, wanted in connection with an assault that took place over Labor Day weekend of 2016. They caught him after he used his own wanted poster as his Facebook profile picture. One of Yearwood's friends commented, "Nice mugshot," to which Yearwood responded, "Thanks, buddy." Another friend expressed more concern. "Holy shit, ding dong, are you planning on getting this shit squared away? I'd like to see you at least one time before you go to prison." Cops in Stuart, Florida, north of Miami, used Yearwood's Facebook to track him to his brother's house, where he was arrested. According to the arresting officers, a bag of weed tumbled out of his pocket as he was cuffed, and he politely asked the cops not to charge him for possession. Writing on the Stuart's Police Department Facebook page, Brian Bosio noted that Facebook is a great way to communicate and connect with old friends and family, and if you were wanted by the police, it's probably not a good idea to use Wanted of the Week poster of yourself as a profile picture. Jesus. Okay, I've actually seen this one in effect. I mean, I've never had a reason to be concerned or do it or be involved in it, but I've seen the posters around in the city at times. Poor Chastity Eugenia Hobson was so worried about her possibly tainted crystal meth that she actually contacted the police about it. Oh my God, you're an idiot. Officers at the Granite Shoals Police Department in Texas were trying to catch the county's dumbest drug users when they posted a fake Facebook story about Ebola-tainted meth. The post said if you've recently purchased meth or heroin in Central Texas, please take it to the local police or sheriff's department so it can be screened with a special device. Do not use it until it's been properly checked for possible Ebola contamination. Hobson, 29, saw the post and was understandably afraid that her meth could have been dangerous. She responded to the department's post on Facebook, and they gladly took her sample for testing. Hobson was charged with possession of less than 1 gram of a controlled substance. You're a fucking idiot. God. So a man in Stockholm, Sweden, was a bit upset when the 13-year-old girl he'd been courting online didn't show up for an arranged sex meeting. When the teen stood him up, the man found her home number and called her father to demand a refund. What? You're a fucking moron, dude. Woman tries to get her money back after buying whack crack. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this fucking hillbilly's name, but it says... Her name is spelled E-O-I-S-E. Yes. Reeves stretched the limits of to serve and protect when she approached a policeman and asked him to help her get her money back for the poor quality crack cocaine she just purchased. She showed him the crack, which she had away stuffed in her mouth, and he placed her under arrest immediately. And how do you know when crack goes bad? If anyone could tell me that, it would be very helpful to know, just so I know. You're dumb, all of you. A would-be thief who broke into a Melbourne bakery found, for all his trouble, he trapped himself in a locked storeroom. He was captured on CCTV, stacking containers, chairs, and bins in an attempt to climb up to the roof. Cameras rolled for 30 minutes as he attempted to scale the pile, crashing to the ground at least 5 times. Eventually, he freed himself and turned himself in. Oh, you're dumb. Two burglars, rifling through an apartment, were disturbed by police and jumped out the window with a stash of jewelry. Soon afterwards, the police picked up 2 men acting very strangely, and while in custody, 1 man became violently ill and needed to be hospitalized. X-rays showed the problem. 2 rings, a pendant, a necklace all swallowed or shoved up his asshole in haste, and after a swift surgery, the apartment owner identified the items and the police did the rest. A 32-year-old man was jailed for 3 years when he was found hanging upside down from a window after trying to break into a terrace house. Oof. Having been caught hanging literally upside down from the window of the house he was attempting to break into, he was left with little choice but to admit his crime and take the punishment on the chin. Obviously, the idea to rob a bank crossed this Illinois resident's mind, but he failed logically to think it through. As most people do, the 40-year-old man walked into the bank, handed the cashier a threatening note that read, "Be quiet." Payslip, we've read that one. In Croatia, modern technology foiled this felon when he and a mate were found with 103 grams of marijuana in their car. While they were at the station for questioning, a third man sent a text to one of their mobile phones saying, "Water my weed, please." Oh, for fuck's sake. The police went to this place and found a small backyard plantation. The driver was convicted of possession and intention to deal, and his 2 friends were let off due to lack of evidence. Wow. One local thief had high standards, but poor follow-through. When Wellington Silva Oliveira robbed a chef, taking his wallet and watch, he was upset to find the watch wasn't quite what he wanted, so he kept the money but returned the watch, claiming it was a fake. While his victim hurried to report the mugging to the police, Oliveira stopped to play soccer at a nearby field, and while he was there playing, cops arrested him. God, you guys are fucking simple. Simpletons. Simpletons fucking... You are us. You guys should unionize. I guess that would be what prison is. And I'll be right back after a message from these fuckers.
Coming soon to the Los Santos Convention Center, it's Mike Andrews.
Poor people, stop complaining. Start living. You can't take the money with you when you die. Even I can't.
He's changed millions of lives with his book, Rags Are Riches. This all-day seminar features workshops on cooking potatoes, dumpster diving, huffing paint, bathing alternatives, and pharmaceutical baking.
Instead of complaining about being poor, lady, enjoy it.
Mike, I can't feed my kids, and the rent's due.
Whoa, bitch, settle it down. Are you saying this ain't the greatest country in the world? Wait, hold on, hold on. Wait, everyone. USA, USA, USA.
Mike's favorite programs, such as There's No Rich People, The Rich Are Miserable, Play Harmonica, and Expect Less, Achieve More. See Mike Andrews live for only $200, payable in 10 installments. Reserve your seat today.
They say beauty is skin deep, but what about the energy? I have inflicted a lot of pain in my time, and some of it was really beautiful.
For those who really know what it takes to be beautiful, Hair Gruber Spa.
You are nothing. Do what I say.
After running residential facilities in Germany, Switzerland, and then Brazil for many years, the renowned German beautician, scientist, and disciplinarian has come to San Andreas. At Hair Gruber Spa, you'll be taken to a whole new level.
Have you not read the book? Strength, good, weakness, bad, 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 bad.
We won't pretend it doesn't hurt, but these days, beauty is worth fighting for.
Oh, you want a potato. You are less than a potato. Less, less.
Who needs dignity when you're thin? You'll never see people so skinny, happy, and undignified as when they leave our spa. Hair Gruber Spa.
So a California woman facing prison time for forging a drug prescription asks the judge presiding over her case to postpone the trial. Why? For medical reasons. And after presenting her doctor's note to the judge, her request is denied because she forged the doctor's note. That is California in a nutshell. And we're all familiar with the "my dog ate my homework" excuse, although maybe not as a reason for committing a crime. While being handcuffed after leading police on a high-speed chase, Relaford Cooper told the police, "My dog was driving that car." According to the People, police found no dog at that scene. For fuck's sake. Stopped at a red light in Chicago, a man rolls down his car window and asks the officers in the squad car next to him if he's a wanted man. According to Reader's Digest, after getting out of their cruiser, the cop smells weed coming from his car, and while investigating the source of the smell, they see the butt of a handgun in the guy's car. Further investigation revealed an illegal loaded combat rifle, unregistered weapons, and a shitload of ammunition. Wow. Hiding in a cupboard from the police, Christopher Wallace decided it was a good time to share what he's doing on Snapchat. Wallace, giving away his location to the authorities, is caught, but not before previously posting about being at his home in the first place to tip off the cops. The lesson here is don't commit a crime and don't post about your actions on social media. My God. After breaking into John Terrell's New Hampshire home and helping himself to chicken wings in the fridge, you're a fucking monster, sir. Renaud Plysar fell asleep in the guest bedroom. Upon coming home and finding him in his house, Terrell managed to detain him until the police arrived. It's safe to say that Plysar won't be eating chicken wings soon. So fuck you. While serving a life sentence for robbery, that's interesting, LaDondrell Montgomery's lawyer found evidence to exonerate him. At the time of his trial, Montgomery forgot details of his whereabouts during the robbery in question, and it just so happens the robbery took place with Montgomery behind bars. Being in jail must have slipped his mind. Huh. I feel like there's a lot more to that story that the cops aren't going to tell you. Interesting.
Let's be honest about things for a second. Really honest. You came out to the West Coast to get away from something. Everyone does. Let's face it, the Midwest is full of retards. That's why we've got the fastest growing population, a massive economy, and absolutely no history or culture. You used to be a dork, but you moved here, and suddenly you're cool. San Andreas is a land where you can be who you want to be. Change your name. Come out. Lie about your age. Form your own religion. Call yourself an actor at wait tables. It just doesn't matter out here. Everybody's at it. Until the awful moment old friends or family come to visit. Janice understands. Maybe it's time to change your identity. Don't let bad memories blow your cover. We'll teach you all the things you need to alienate your family quick. They'll never think of visiting you again. Select from a list of weird religions that involve burning things, singing children's songs backwards, and loads of television worship. We'll select a member of another race or life form for you to claim as your soulmate, and your dietary habits will go Pacific too. People come to San Andreas to escape their past. We'll help you lose contact with friends and family fast. Janice.
It's time to invent the new you.
What happens when five eligible bachelors welcome a little girl into their lives?
Hey, it's my turn in the bathroom.
Non-stop hilarity. My Five Uncles, the sitcom with a lot of heart.
Hey, Gina, welcome to your new home. You sleep in there, and we all sleep in here.
Ugh, whatever. Does anyone have something to smoke?
It's the show that shows family values exist, even in unconventional families.
Oh, what are you guys doing in there?
We're just flossing here.
It's a brand new show taking hilarious comedy in a whole new funny direction.
I don't get it. Why don't any of you guys have a steady girlfriend?
And they learn some lessons about life and love along the way.
Come on, guys. Group hug.
I'm an emotionally abused orphan. Can I get in on any of these group hugs?
No, you stupid bitch.
My Five Uncles, Thursday nights on LSBC.
And on that note, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in and listening to this point. It's because of people like you that this podcast has continued to be a thing, so thank you very much for continuing to choose to support my show. You could choose to further support the show. I've done some light number crunching, and just based on the people that follow me now, if everybody donates $1 a month, I could almost guarantee that I can crank out an episode a day for the foreseeable future. However, at this time, since I work full-time, I usually don't have the energy, but I could dial that back if everyone donated a dollar a day. However, I expect nothing from any of you, and I appreciate just the listens alone is enough to stroke my tiny ego, and that's all I really ever needed. But it would be cool to further elevate the podcast and monetize it a bit so that I can provide more quality material and more time invested in it for you. So, as is our custom and tradition, why don't we take a look at which city has the most listeners in it. Max was in Chicago spreading the good word in September, and Chicago has been on the top for quite some time now, but it was recently on the most recent uploaded episode. That would be the one that I uploaded yesterday. It would appear that, oh my fucking God, I don't know how to say that. Smyrna, Smyrna, Tennessee, Smyrna, Tennessee, followed by, I'm sorry guys, I can't read apparently, Orlando, Florida, Dublin, Ohio, Portland, Oregon, Kansas City, Missouri, Salt Lake City, Utah, Greensville, South Carolina, Tigard, Oregon, Charlotte, North Carolina, and San Antonio, Texas. That is the top list for right now. Thank you guys very much. It's because of people like you that I continue to do this, and I appreciate each and every one of you. And as always, I have an open door policy. If you want to tell me to go fuck myself or that I'm terrible and annoying and your child got suspended from school for listening to me, please do so by emailing me at the show's email address, which I am now fancy enough to have a corporate email address, and that is springheeledjack@anthologyofhorror.com. And please be sure to check out anthologyofhorror.com, where you will see the media player where you can download straight from the website, and also the link to the Patreon in the upper right corner. And once again, you can email me at springheeledjack@anthologyofhorror.com. And I think I'm pretty welcoming of all suggestions and all criticisms, because I don't have a tiny penis. It's a poor example, but thank you very much for tuning in. This has been another wonderful and exciting and invigorating episode of the Anthology of Horror. Also, somebody please email me and tell me what you thought about this show. This is a trial run for potentially a new, like, short stories type episode to go along with my short story type episodes. If it was liked, if you guys thought this was fun, humorous, or a waste of time or something, please email me at springheeledjack@anthologyofhorror.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, stay fucking spooky, y'all.